Tim. It is a beautiful Monday night in June, and I'm very happy to connect with you guys. I'm really sorry that I couldn't do it at the beginning of the room, but some of you know that I was in Mexico City and having a grand time, and it was actually quite incredible experience. But in any case, I know all the people here in the Northeast are certainly enjoying spring, because as officially tomorrow, from what I gather, is the first day of spring. So all good on this end, and I know we got a lot of emails today, so we can tell the lines are already like punched up about it. So I'm happy to be back as always. Just a heads up, because obviously in July, you know, I always do my show the first Monday of the month, unless of course I'm out of town or out of the country. The first Monday of July will be, of course, July 4th, and so that will not be a happening, but we'll have the show on July the 11th, and my guest will be John Schuster, The Power of Your Past. So we'll have him on as an author. But I'm going to open up the show with a small little quote, and then I will soon bring on our guest. But just really, really quick, again, I want to wish everybody this wonderful, you know, official entry into summer. And it's been a grang bang, I would say, end of spring into it. So I know everybody is spending the quiet time somewhere alone in nature and just cleansing the body, the soul, and just tuning in and having a grand time of what we call prayer and gratitude daily. So this is my opening quote. We must heed the call to the Spirit within that stands ever ready to communicate with us. It does not come in a whirlwind, but is a still, small voice. If we listen and trust, it will teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. That was Mr. Edgar Cayce. And I thought that was very apropos, because one of the wonderful things about, of course, when you do go into a no season, we do start to think about something new. And because this one is obviously so life, with the greenery and the natures and the flowers everywhere, it really is an unbelievable rejuvenating. And I think that after a wonderful winter we all had, everybody is really lavishing in it. And I think the people that had Memorial Day weekend out at the beach were also very, very happy. So there's nothing like the mood of the energy to really put us into it. Okay, so if you are on the line, you're on the caller line, you probably will at this point have a shot to get in. The lines are full, and if you don't mind hanging on until we know the last 20 minutes of the show, then you will get on. I know we have some 86 callers and 813s, and we're gonna get to you. My guest that I have coming up here is not only obviously a colleague, but I call her a personal friend. We've done some wonderful work together over the years, and we did a couple of very intense, quite amazing cruise ship retreats a few years back, and I could vouch personally for her work, and we're gonna talk a lot about it. And I want to say, besides, you know, being obviously top-notch what she does, one of the areas that she does, which I think is so needed, and I also think that it's not only needed, I think it's where so much of where we're going in terms of professionalism. So she was certainly a pioneer doing this before a lot of other people were doing it, and she's got some, you know, wonderful in endorsements from, you know, Brian Weiss and Hank Weisselman, who are also obviously top at what they do. And she was the therapist on the recent show Psychic Kids, Children of the Paranormal on A&E, which is now on reruns in the Bio channel. So you can catch that out. But and of course that is very important, and we're going to certainly talk about that. But one of the things that that she's so good at is really this bridging. I call it a bridging of spirituality and psychotherapy, and how she's worked that in terms of her working with death and dying and grief. And she was also a major one of the major therapists I know who worked with a lot of people at the World Trade Center. I'm going to give her information really, really quick here, because she does have a one-day workshop come up. She's in the New York area, New York and Long Island. It's called Souls in Sync. It's a one-day workshop, August the 6th in New York City. You can get her email, edy@edynathan.com, or 212-539-7557. I will be reading that out throughout the show. Welcome to the show, Edie.
Oh, it's so good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, listen, you're more than welcome, and it's been past due. We did a show a while back, and I kind of felt like it was perfect, because after coming off, you know, a season, and I know that you're in general, children are important to you, and I know you've done a lot of work with them. And in any case, but you know, you were really sort of thrown into it, and I think you probably did this bridging of the psychotherapy and the spirituality. So, kind of like, you know, give us sort of a run through on how you sort of like ended up going into this. Although I think you did it from the very beginning of your practice, but how is it important, and how did you end up applying some of that with the show?
Children, when children come into the world, I think more than at any other time, they are the most innocent, and they carry with them an understanding and often a knowledge that soon gets forgotten of that which we cannot explain, of past lives, of a feeling of knowing. Often children cannot explain that which they see, but they are seers, and they do have an understanding of things that, in a funny kind of way, as they get older and as adults, perhaps become a little bit afraid of what their child might be saying or might be seeing or might be feeling, that it gets swallowed. And in the swallowing of that which they see or feel, that adults can no longer feel or see, it gets squashed. Their psychic abilities get squashed, and along with that, I think that anxiety then presents itself, or depression, or a feeling or sense of being not fitting in. And thus the cycle begins, where a child feels that they are unable to fit in, and they are, it's almost a self-proclaimed outsider. And other kids often, you know, pick this up and then will bully them or tease them for being the outsider. And even if they are no longer in touch with their spiritual ability, or in touch with that sense of a world that is more than this world, than the world that we live in, it doesn't matter, because they already inside of themselves, they have a knowing that they're different. And mm-hmm. What working with the children, one of the things that we try to do is that bridge, you know, is really saying to them, giving them the permission to be the seers that they are, to access the information that they hold. And even if it's been swallowed, if they ever had knowledge of that access, they can go back to it. They can start to ground themselves. They can start to access and work on creating a better relationship with those abilities, and not feeling that because they have them that they're an outsider. And as a therapist, I really try to allow them to experience those abilities, help the parents cope with children who have abilities, while also coping with often the ostracization that other children or parents have of that child, and helping them to be normal kids, you know, because all kids and all adults, I don't know if you'd agree with me, have the ability to be psychic.
Oh, everybody does. Well, it's all part of the process. But what I wanted to ask is I know personally that you worked very, very hard on the show in terms of, you counseled these kids. I know you counseled them off. I know you did a lot on your own time. And, you know, I've spoken to few of my colleagues, and you know, some of them, you know, were not crazy about the show only because they felt like the kids were exposed. And I know that that was something personally you worked very hard at and trying to protect them in that process. But, you know, again, it's television and it's Hollywood and all of that. You know, how did you, I mean, I know you had your moments because we've talked about this. How did you deal with that? Because I know that there were a lot of times some of those things did not get aired of you working with the kids, and I understand it was called Psychic Kids, but I also know that you really, and I'm not saying the other staff, that's not what I'm implying, but I know you really, really cared about those kids. So how in your frustration did that work with you?
You know, what happens for TV, and you're absolutely right, what they show on TV, you're seeing 44 minutes of a compilation of 4 to 5 days of work and of filming. And, you know, what people don't understand when they watch a show like this, even though, you know, they've got harsh music and even though there's, you know, there's all this lighting that's done after the fact. At no time were these kids put into a situation that was really scary or did not have supervision or did not have support. There were always adults on hand. There were, and I, as a therapist, I really worked with these kids to help them if they were afraid. And, you know, sometimes, and a lot of times, it wasn't their fear of being psychic that we were working on. It was their fear of going into a bathroom alone that we worked on. It was the fear of taking a shower by themselves. And imagine being 13, 14 years old, and you're afraid to even go into a bathroom and close the door at a time when it is so important developmentally to be able to have that kind of privacy. So I understand certainly what your colleagues have felt about the show and some of my colleagues too. But when we explain exactly what happened with the show and how these kids were taken care of and how the parents were taken care of and how the parents were taught to create boundaries with the kids and how the kids learned that they could rely on themselves using what is called CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy, that they could draw upon their own resources and skill sets to get out of a feared situation that may be psychically related or may not be psychically related. And sometimes, you know, it was very confusing for these kids. You know, am I afraid because there's something, you know, there's a soul or there's a spirit around me, or am I afraid just because I'm so used to being afraid and it's part of the family gestalt? And we really had to break through that. And Stephen Farmer came on one of the shows, and he's done a lot of work around animal spirit and spirit guides.
Right.
And,
yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
we worked a lot with spirit guides. We worked a lot with bringing in animals and animal totems to help the kids. And a lot of that was not shown, unfortunately,
right,
on the show.
Well, which is why we're now giving you the opportunity to share this with the listeners, because
yeah,
you know, these are listeners that, you know, I've had Blackman on the show. I've also had Stephen Farmer on my show, and that's why I think it's so important to, because, you know, people see that and you know, and the reaction is I know what some of your original reaction was, is like, but that's not what aired, that's not what really went on.
Right.
So I think it's important because there is, as we all know, so much stigma with children, and you're right, you know, adolescence is not fun unto itself without having to deal with, you know, feeling so much more different and you know, and then all the other elements that sort of like go with it. So that's why I wanted to, you know, I wanted you to come on the show and I wanted you to share this with people, because I think it's important for anybody out there, be an aunt, an uncle, a mother, a father, or a brother or sister, that if you feel that you're going through this with you know, one of the young ones in your family, one of the children's, then you know, they'll know. I mean, they'll have a sense that you know there are some places to go there. And what I want to do is I want to come back to your bridging of your spirituality with your therapy. But do you have like some pointers that would be really good to give, you know, parents or people that you feel, are experiencing this with their children, you know, some pointers to, you know, either lead them, you know, to some, you know, possible things that they could do to help them through the process, or to know, you know, because you know, we all know that, you know, I went through this just recently with a client of mine that, you know, her granddaughter really was seeing things, but as it worked out, she was not seeing things the way she needed to see things, and she ended up being on medication, and, you know, where she thought it was more of a psychic thing, because this one was extremely receptive to it, you know, we learned that she really was really off balance. So I'm sure that you dealt with this in terms of the kids, and
absolutely.
What could you share
and you know
with us
about that? And sometimes there are two things that are going on. Sometimes a child is psychic, and the child, that very same child, also needs medication because they're, you know, they are experiencing depression, or they have what is called multiple personality disorder, and it can look suspiciously the same, like, you know, you're seeing things, or you're hearing voices, or you take on a different personality, and it can be very confusing. And the first bit of advice that I always tell people is, you know, we need to rule out anything that is medically wrong with your child before we can go forward and say, oh yes, indeed, your child is truly psychic, you know, because the psychic abilities can mimic, although if what is being seen has relevance to the family, and the child, there's no way that the child could have heard it, then certainly that must be looked at. But before you do anything and start to say, oh, my child is psychic, you need to really have your child looked at, and not necessarily by someone, you know, Western medicine, but there are people who are homeopaths who are able to assess, you know, some things that are going on with your child. Even your family doctor, you know, just to ask certain questions that may then help you to determine, is my child, you know, suffering from some kind of emotional issues, or are the emotional issues apart and aside, apart from the psychic abilities? If you feel that your child is psychic, the first thing that you need to do is really listen. And I know that sounds like it's so simple, but with our busy lives, parents often don't sit down and just listen to what their child is saying, and be curious about what your child is expressing. You know, even 3 and 4 year old children have the ability to express what they're feeling or seeing, and if it seems unusual, continue to ask questions. Ask them to draw what they're seeing, and don't introduce a concept. Let them tease it out for themselves. And
oh well, we know that that's a prime age. 3, 4,
yeah.
And 5 is a prime age.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's
right. one of the key areas, because you know that they're too young to start doing the makeup thing, and you know, and when they start talking about, you know, a relative who's been passed before they were born, and they're able to describe them.
What happened to them, and they're able to describe how they died,
yes.
And they're able to describe, you know,
exactly.
A ring that had been given, you know, to their mother or to their father. So. You know,
right.
but you've got to start out from a baseline. That's right. And
no.
You've got to just
right.
ask questions. The other, another curious question, and it's for you as the parent to assess, is, you know, is my child using words that does not really fit a 3, 4, or 5 year old, you know, that is more mature or seems ancient or older or not of this time? That's another assessment tool, and you will build your assessment tools as you begin to ask your child and ascertain from your child what is exactly going on. that, again, does not mean that your child should not be checked out medically, and I always stress this. It's very, very important. But let's say once your child has been assessed and nothing is emotionally going on with your child other than being really afraid, and the child does not know that they are different. Children who experience their psychic abilities don't know that no one else is experiencing it. They assume that everyone else is seeing grandma who died 6 years ago, you know, and unless they're told that this is different, they're not going to know it. So how you approach your child, and not in a fear-based way, but in a welcoming way, then it demystifies it. And if you can demystify it, you're giving your child a whole realm in which to exist that allows them to be confident and not to be afraid of what they experience.
That's great. Okay, so just really quick here. Of course, Edie is on Facebook and Edie is on Twitter, and you can email her if you want. Just check her out. You want to know about her new Souls in Sync workshop coming up August the 6th in New York City. You can do Edie, E-D-Y, at EdieNathan, NathaN.com, or call 212-539-7557. That's 212-539-7557. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with my special guest, Edie Nathan. And I know everybody knows it, because whenever I do shows to talk about, you know, the things with kids and what's going on, people just need to hear it, because you're right. The whole key is to demystify and make it this whole other thing than it actually is. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. This is Suzanne Northrup at Blog Talk Radio on June the 20th, right? Is it June the 20th? Yeah, June the 20th, right as we go into summer.
Visit Suzanne's website, www.theseance.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter, www.theseance.com.
Welcome back. This is Suzanne Northrup at Blog Talk Radio, and my special guest is Edie Nathan. And I know you can check some of the remaining shows that are on the bio channel of Psychic Kids. But you know, obviously, she was brought on the show as a therapist that was obviously drawn to this area and knew a lot about it in terms of her working with kids. But I also know you have done besides doing family work at Ackerman at the Gestalt Center and the Jungian therapy. I know you also have worked with Brian Weiss, who I've also worked with Brian Weiss, and he is, you know, he actually endorses you in your work. And so is that what kind of drew you to doing the combination of spirituality and psychotherapy? I mean, or was this just something you did from the beginning of your practice?
I think I've always done it. I don't know that I knew what I was doing. And what I mean by that is that I knew that I did not want to just be a social worker or a counselor or a therapist. I knew that there had to be more. And my initial work was actually as a drama therapist. And when you utilize drama in therapy, you look to role play and you look to guided meditation. And that then just led me so naturally into identifying myself as a therapist who, unlike other therapists, could find a way to get to the issues that people are so desperately trying to work through, but using kind of a thinking outside of the box, thinking that, you know, therapy does not mean that I have to sit in a chair and a client has to sit on a couch and we sit across from each other and I sit there quietly and passively and nod my head as they go on about their issues. There had to be a different way. And I, in my search for trying to find that different way through drama therapy and psychodrama, I was then led on a magnificent journey to Gestalt and Jungian therapy. And the Jungians, Carl Jung, was really the father of finding a way to conjoin psychotherapy with spirituality. He studied the Gnostics, and he studied alchemy, and he studied, you know, magic, and he really brought all of that to the fore with his discussion about the collective unconscious and how we as a collective, all of us, the whole world, we carry within us a collective unconscious, and that collective carries us through in terms of our emotions, our basest emotions of love and fear and anger and that we as a world understand what it is to love and to fear and to experience anger. And it was through really that study that I was then brought into and introduced into the world of regression therapy, past life regression, who, you know, Brian Weiss was part of that journey. And once I met Brian and took many of his courses and then went on to study with a wonderful shaman, Hank Wesselman, I realized that truly I could form my own way of doing psychotherapy, and it didn't mean that I was just sitting in a chair. It meant that I could sit on the floor with my clients. I could regress them. We could spend a year, one whole year, working on one past life regression, one life, and that through that one life, a whole world could open up in this life, and be the way that this particular client was stuck in their lives, shifted and changed, and they were able to traverse the obstacles of this life because of the information they gathered from the past life. And that is magical. And when we can understand that we have the power within ourselves and that we have the core within ourselves to make the changes that we need to make, then truly you see the collaboration between psychotherapy and spirituality.
Well, I don't see them as honestly any different, because I don't think any process that you go through your life, whatever you go in your life, doesn't have a spiritual component. It can't, because, you know, we're ultimately, you know, spiritual beings, so they have to somewhere blend and match. And also, I don't think you can get to the level of healing without it.
I agree with you. You know, and we don't have to call it spirituality. You know, some people don't like the word. They don't like the word spiritual. They don't. It scares them because it feels like the unknown. So at times, you know what? I just don't use it. You know, it doesn't really matter how we get to the healing. What matters is
what words you use. Yes.
You know, that's exactly right. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I use spiritual or I use you know, an integrated psychotherapy, but it's really all about using all the skills that we have, and those skills, we are all creative. We all have the ability to be psychic, to be knowing outside of an understanding of why we know something. You know, we all have that ability. And we all have the answers to our own betterment, to our own pain. It's just a matter of accessing that information. And what I try to do with the help of my clients is to help them see the path that is best for them. And it's amazing when it works. It's just beautiful. It's beautiful to be a witness to it. It's beautiful to see the process. And really, often that's all that people need. They need a witness and a guide. And once I become that guide, and once we've agreed that their guide is going to lead my guide, anything is possible.
So you have a workshop coming up, Soul in Sync, August the 6th, for anybody who's in the New York area. So tell us a little bit about the workshop and what people can somewhat expect.
Absolutely. Well, we are actually I'm doing a series of workshops, and the name of the company is Souls in Sync, and we are doing this a 6-hour workshop August 6th, and the focus is just the self. And using guided imagery, psychodrama, discussing the chakras, this is going to be a very interactive workshop for between 15 and 25 people. It will take place in New York City. And it's a workshop to really help people get in touch with the self, the core self, and begin that conversation. But, you know, not doing it intellectually, but doing it through, again, games and exercises and chakra and music and movement, because we think so much with our brains, and words often get in the way. So it's about really letting go of some of our language and some of the stories that we tell and the way that we tell them, and using spirituality, using music, using psychodrama, to really help to get to the beginning conversation with the self.
Now, I know that you also do, women's workshops. So is this a women's workshop? Is this a mixed workshop? Is this a whoever
this
wants
is,
to come?
Or? This is a mixed workshop, whoever wants to come. I will be doing a series of 4 3-day workshops, starting in October, and they will be throughout the year, and those will be specifically for women. And we are working on a co-ed workshop as well, and a couples workshop. So it's right now the 1 day is a co-ed, but the 3-day workshops, which will all be on my website, edienathan.com, www.edienathan.com. And you can also... we are on Facebook, Souls in Sync on Facebook, and Edie Nathan on Facebook. So all of the information will be there as well.
Great. I don't want to get into a whole long litany of it, but I would be remiss if I didn't bring up that I know you were one of obviously the many, because in New York obviously there's many, many therapists, and then many of them stepped up to the plate, and I know that you were one of them who did some work after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah,
I know you worked with some of the firemen and some of the policemen, and I knew that was very intense, needed, important work.
We all learn about ourselves when faced with crisis, and I was stuck in my home and could not even get into the city, and as soon as I could. Got into the city and volunteered at the Red Cross, which is an organization that I cannot speak, about, in highly enough. It's a wonderful organization. And lo and behold, found myself actually down at the pits, and spent many weeks there, really kind of helping people figure out where they needed to be. Oftentimes the policemen and the firemen that were down there were on 18, 20 hours. Sometimes they'd been there for 24 hours. They couldn't find their cars. They didn't really even remember where they had parked their cars, what was going on for them, when was the last time they had eaten. And it was just one of the most amazing experiences to see the bravery and the fortitude, and they just kept going back in and going back in. And often we as clinicians down there had to say to them, you need to go home now. You have to go home. And the angst in their faces of not wanting to leave, of feeling that if they left, something would happen. And I think it was also a way to kind of cope with the losses that they were going to be facing, because they had to know that they had lost many of their men and women, you know, who had, you know, been side by side with them for years prior to 9/11. So I think that sometimes that's what we do to cope with grief, is we just put ourselves right into the work, and that's what they did. And what bravery and what emotional fortitude. And so many of them are still coping with the trauma of that time, and unfortunately illnesses from that time.
Yeah, no, I know. I see it so much in my work as well in New York, and I talk about this, you know, when I travel, how it's true. There is something, whether people believe it or not, there is something about energy, and that energy is very prevalent. It's still very prevalent in New York City, and to see, you know, how some people can move on, how some can't move on, but obviously, needless to say, what they went through, the people who, of course, lost people. So, you know, it was definitely something that anybody who lives in New York will never forget. That's for sure.
Yeah, you know what, and the grief work, it's not about forgetting. It's about learning how to remember peacefully, and that's what you hope to do. You learn to remember peacefully so that the memories no longer haunt you, but you will never forget. One never forgets, you know, whether you were one of the first responders and survived, or if you are a family member who lost a loved one. You will never forget, but it is learning how to move into a space where you can take the energy of the loss and give birth to something that is powerful within you, and that is about something that is alive, because you to take that loss and to then forever be in grief is not honoring, truly honoring the one you lost. But if you can live in a different way, or choose your life in a different way, take the next step in a different way, give back in another in a way that you may never have given back, you honor the loss and you honor the death of your loved one.
That's very true. I have, you know, obviously, because I do a lot of work with parents that lose children, and you know, one of the quotes that they, you know, like forever say with me is that this was the worst experience that I ever had in my life, and in the next breath, but I would have never experienced what I experienced had I not gone through that. And so, you know, to me, they're always the heroes, and somehow they get up in the morning, put the Susan socks on, and they go on with these intense, out of the norm, you know, losses. But those that are able to do it, and you're right, those that are able to get to that place and honor, you know, those people are still part of, those children are always going to be part of your life. They're always going to be part of your family. And,
but you are honoring
and honor
your
them.
Life.
You're honoring their lives, exactly. And I remember, you know, one of my one such client, she had, you know, five children, and they were four boys and one girl, and lost her only daughter. And, you know, when people would come to the house, you know, they would talk about, you know, her four children, and she goes, no, I have five children. I always will have five children. And, you know, people, you know, looking a little strange at her, but it's true. She still has five children, just because, you know, four in the body and one aren't. They're still all your children. It's still a continuum.
That's right.
Of that level. So so if you want to check out Edie, obviously she's on Facebook and she's on Twitter. You can go to edienathan.com. Obviously you can email her, edie@edienathan.com. It's EDYNATHAN. And the phone number to call is 212-539-7557. I know this is a workshop for, you know, people that are always in New York City looking for things to do in the summer. And in August, tends to be a bit warm here. And so I know that a lot of times during the, certainly August month, people are, that have not, don't have shares or don't place, have places to go, are certainly looking for things to do in the New York City area. So So in closing, this has been great, Edie. Is there a few words you'd like to share with my listening, our listening audience here on almost going into summer, they would say, as if tomorrow will be the first day of summer.
Well,
yeah.
We all have the ability to heal ourselves, and sometimes we need a little bit of help on that path. Don't be afraid to reach out to a friend or a sibling or a relative, and if that's not comfortable, then reach out to a professional and ask questions, continue to be curious, and know that you have the strength to survive anything. And
Yeah, and I might want to do one adding is I do know that there are people there that won't go into therapy because they do have, you know, whether they do have very strong spiritual, not religious beliefs, and they're reluctant to go into a total, you know, left brain analytical situation. And, you know, and I'm always one of the first to tell people that, you know, I have been endorsed by not all, but by many therapists for that reason, when they can't go to a certain place with their clients. So I think, you know, what Edie is saying is that there are a lot of ways, and when you go to, for whatever is going on in your life, you know, you want to go to a practitioner that's going to support you in your beliefs, and if you do believe in past lives, and you do believe that we go on, that we don't die, that you know you're going to be dealing with a different practitioner. I'm going to ask you one other quick thing here before I let you go. When people want referrals and stuff, are there things that you suggest for them to go to, or?
Yes, you know, the oftentimes you can. If you find a Jungian Institute, and that's spelled J-U-N-G-I-A-N, Jungian Institute, the Jungians, you will find the practitioners who have trained in the Jungian perspective are very open to spirituality and to this way of thinking. And though they do have an analytic background to some degree, they are very open to regression and to guided imagery into drawing and dreams. So, and the most important feature fact is that you interview whoever you speak to, and speak to a couple of different therapists and ask them what they would do in certain situations, and trust how you feel. Don't just go by someone's recommendation. See how you feel, because you're going to know who you're comfortable with and who you're not comfortable with.
Great advice. Check her out, website, edienathan.com. The workshop is August the 6th in New York City. It's 212-539-7557. Of course, you know all my shows are archived. If you didn't get this and you're driving down the road or whatever, you can certainly go there and check it out. This has been great, Edie. I thank you very, very much. You've given a lot of wonderful information to my listeners, and I'm sure that they'll be definitely checking you out. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, and we'll be doing as many readings as I can get through. And, again, my special guest is Edie Nathan. Go there, edienathan.com, and 212-539-7557. We'll now be taking a quick break. And this is Suzanne Northrup at Block Tech Radio, and we'll be back in a moment. Thanks, Edie.
Thank you.
Thank you.
visit Suzanne's website, www.theseance.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter, www.theseance.com.
Welcome back. It's Suzanne, and we're going to try to take some callers to see how many people we can get in. Hello, this is Suzanne. Who am I talking to, please?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hi.
Hello?
Hi. Hi, you're talking to Suzanne.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Hi. Okay, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm happy that I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, that's sweet. Who am I talking to, please?
This is Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. How are you doing tonight?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm good because I'm talking to you.
Okay, I like a repeat performance. That works for me, Rachel. how can I help you? Who would you like me to connect with, please?
To one of my girlfriends.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you this really quick, Rachel. Was this not a long time ago passing? Is this recent?
No, but this, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, boom, I feel like she just went through the door.
Huh.
Yeah. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, I mean, I feel like I'm here and I am gone. And I got to tell you, she not only left here in a bang, but this is a person who lived her life in a bang. You understand that, right? I mean, we're talking
yes.
a lot of pizzazz, a lot of energy, and a lot of spark.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes, yes. And I also want to say, quite literally, I know she was your friend, your best friend, but from her, you were family.
I know, yeah.
You know, you were either like the sister that she never had, or you were closer than the sister, because she said, like, you know, we were very inseparable.
Oh, my God, yes.
Very inseparable. So she wants you to know that that is in her memory, and she wants you to know that she's only left her body. She's always around you, and I know she's made visitations to you, and I'd be really, really surprised if you haven't picked them up. Because she's pretty
loud. I would love to learn how to.
Well, you know what?
I'll tell
you something. Yeah, but you know, I'm going to tell you something. She's around you, but what I want to say, the only reason you're not feeling her is because you're emotional. I'm telling you that's point blank, because she is one spicy lady.
Oh, my God,
yes.
You have no idea. She just passed away last Sunday.
I was going to say, she said she just arrived.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she said, I just arrived. This was a fast passing, out of the blue, unexpected.
Oh, I just want to know why she didn't tell me.
Because
my phone number, I changed my phone number, and then she couldn't get a hold of me. And then I felt like crap.
Right. Well, you know, you of course, are experiencing what a lot of people experience in these kind of passings, is a lot of guilt and all of that stuff that goes with it. But you have to know, as difficult and as painful as it is, she is really doing just fine.
Yeah.
She's in a better place. This is a person who was full of life and very, very spicy. But to be quite honest with you, Rachel, Earth and her had their challenges.
Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Earth and her had her challenges. Now, I want to ask you this piece. She's mentioning the mother. So is she talking about her mother, connection to her mother, you connecting to her mother? What's the story with that?
I know that her mom, I don't know. I don't think her mom liked me that much, but I don't know. Maybe she's talking about my mom or her mom. I don't know. But her mom.
Well, I'm getting a connection to a mom. So my guessing is that she might have been more connected to your mom than her mom or something, but I'm definitely getting a sense that
she was more. She was like a mother, too, not just a sister, but a mom as well, too. Like,
okay, then that's
she was
why.
My right hand. That's my left.
Yeah.
You know, it was right for Ray, left for Lowie.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's the feeling I'm getting. I'm definitely getting, like, that sense of the mother, the caring, whatever that was about, was very much who she was, very much who she is. Yes. Now, I want to ask you this, please. I, at my feet, have a dead dog. So I don't know whose dead dog she's got, but she's got to have somebody's dead dog.
I don't know. Maybe my dad's dead dog. I don't know. I just...
Did she know this dog?
I'm kind of jealous because she's there with him. But, you know.
That's why they're coming together. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're coming together. And this makes an awful lot of sense because yesterday was Father's Day.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so they're definitely hanging out. Definitely hanging out. That's a plan. Now, I think that this is her, but since they're both coming together here, I want to ask you, would there have been something connected to her passing, Rachel, that I would have felt like either her air was cut off or like she couldn't breathe and that would have affected her brain?
Holy cow. You got it right on the nose. She fell and she split her head open and they had said that the cancer had went all through her body and it was up in her brain and she just passed away. That's what her youngest daughter told me.
Yeah,
and
that's
I felt
exactly
like crap
what I'm getting
she was talking to me and I couldn't find her and I just felt like a bad friend.
Right, but let me tell you something. She will always find you. Always. Always.
Yeah.
Just because she's out of her body does not mean she won't find you. So you got to hold that real strong in your heart and just know that she's always going to be connected to you. And when you get a little less in your grief, because this is raw, okay? When you're going to get a little less in your grief, you will feel her. You got to give it some time.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
You're really, really, really welcome. I'm going to give you lots of hugs and blessings, Rachel.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You take care now. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, let's see. Hello? Hello, this is Suzanne. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi,
this is Suzanne. How you doing?
Good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're very welcome. Who am I talking to, please?
My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. And
Hi.
How are you wherever you are?
I'm in very hot Florida, very, very hot Florida.
Oh, I bet it's very hot Florida down there.
Very hot.
I think I heard from somebody today it was 95 or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's at least 95. It's pretty hot.
Pretty hot. Okay.
Yeah.
How can I help? Would you like to connect with, please?
I would like to try to connect with my grandpa, Ben.
Okay. Is this on your mama's side, Debbie?
Yes.
Okay, because that's where I feel like I am coming from, so that's why I want to double check. I'm assuming Mom is still here.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Because the way I'm getting here from your grandfather, it's interesting because to be quite honest with you, in some ways he comes more like a father than a grandfather, which indicates to me that he had some strong connection to your rearing.
Yeah. Well.
Yes.
I didn't know. I'd never met him really. I only knew him. Yeah. When I was very, very little, but I just have a really strong connection with him.
Well, then if I'm feeling him being connected to you, then I'm feeling him being around you growing up. Okay? Because it comes in as very, very strong. Now, it does look like there was a separation in his passing and your grandmother's passing. There seems to be several years between their passing from what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yes, and I don't know if this was a combination of what was wrong with him, but I'm very heavy in my chest, like either he was a heavy smoker or he had lung issues or something, but there's a lot of breathing problems.
Yeah, a lot of breathing problems.
Yeah, yes. Now, he's telling me he's also, honestly, very close to your mom. So his passing, I think, was very hard on your mama.
Yeah, but she won't listen to me when I say he's around. She doesn't want to hear it.
Oh. Well, that's, you know, everybody has their own deal, Debbie, their own beliefs, their own,
right.
You know what I'm saying, whatever it is, and this is the way it is for her for now. But, you know, that doesn't mean that you can't keep your heart and your mind open, which I believe you have.
Oh, yeah, I think about him every day. I love him and I miss him so much, but I feel him. I know he's just around me.
So that's great. That's wonderful. And I tell people, all you got to do is just open up your heart to listen.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much, Debbie, for calling in. And you have a great night, all right?
Thank you so much.
And chill out. You're welcome. And chill out in Florida.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Okay. Let's see here. Hello? Hello? You're on the air with Suzanne. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Suzanne. Who am I talking to, please?
Hi, my name is Anne.
Hi, Anne. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So, who would like me to connect with, please?
I'm going to say my mother or father, but that I know that they may not come through, but one or the other.
And why don't you think they would come through?
Because sometimes I've been told, you know, you never know who's going to come through. Someone else may come through instead.
No, yeah, that's very true. That's always why I'm asking. Well, actually, believe it or not, I am picking up your mom. Now, your father went before her, please?
Yes.
Yes, it looks like there's a distance in their passing from what I'm gathering. Somebody has a birth or passing connected to either December or January. I feel like I'm in the wintertime.
My mother passed in March, so it was still
March.
Pretty cold, and my father in August.
Okay, do you know if somebody's birth or passing during that month? When I get months, it's usually one or the other.
My nephew passed in November.
Thank you. He's coming with them.
Okay.
It's very strong. Now, is this connected to a sister, please?
I have two sisters that have passed as well.
Okay, well, then they're coming all with your mom and your dad.
Okay.
They're all coming together. And it's interesting, there seems to be a strong connection more to one than the other, and one definitely went through what I would call a very, very intense illness.
Oh, very much, very much.
Very much, like some kind of a cancer or something all the way throughout her body.
She had breast cancer, and she had Alzheimer's.
Yeah, no, I feel like my whole body's affected. And I know she passed after your mom, because I want you to know your mom was there to bring her over.
Okay, yeah,
so
they both did, yes. Yeah.
So it comes in as pretty strong. Yes. So they're very much around you, Debbie. Yes.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Please take
Thank
care of
you
yourself.
Very much.
You're welcome very much. Enjoy the rest of your summer, okay?
Thank you.
And
Thank
be well.
You
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to try to go for one more. Let's see if we can get one more in on the line here. Hello, you're talking to Suzanne. Hello. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Let's try it again. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, this is Suzanne. Who am I talking to, please?
This is Beth.
Hi, Beth. How you doing?
Oh, I'm very surprised to hear that it's me this time. I'm glad.
See, there
thank you
go. You got through. And we got to make it really quick because we're down to the last
okay.
2 minutes.
Very
so,
quick. Very quick.
Very
I
quick. Who would you like me to connect to, please?
I have a brother that I'm concerned about, so I'm hoping he texts my mother.
Okay. Your mother comes in very strong, but I'm going to ask you this. Is your given name Elizabeth?
Well, they call me Beth. Yes, my given is Elizabeth, yes.
Okay, because that's just how your mother's identifying. So,
wow. Yeah, she would.
She would, yes. She says, you may be going by that, but that's not the given name, so I just want you to know. Okay.
Very funny, yeah.
Now, yeah, very funny. Now, I am going to tell you one, cause you may go by Beth, but you might as well tell me I got to call you Elizabeth. I'm going to tell you one other quick thing here about your brother. I understand I see a lot of roller coaster ride with him, so
oh.
I don't know if this is a combination. Do you understand roller coaster ride?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes, I feel like he's on a roller coaster ride, and my guessing is this is an emotional thing, and I think that your mother is very, very pleased and very honored in a lot of ways. You've really stepped up to the plate, and you've really tried to help him in this process.
Wow.
But I honestly want to tell you that a good portion of this is something, stuff that he's going to have to work on his own.
I know. It's true.
You know, it's true. So
it's true.
What I'm, yeah, it's true. it's definitely true. So, you know, you know the expression that they say, God helps those that help themselves. And you've been wonderful in stepping into that plate and really trying to help him, Elizabeth. But, you know, your mom is saying he's got to take some responsibility for this, and he's got to get some inner strength and start making some of these decisions on his own.
Wow. It's so funny that you say that. I mean, he has a wife that was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and his 11-year-old daughter within the same year diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And it's been so hard not to step in and do everything.
I understand. I understand. I understand.
You're incredible.
So you've done your thing.
Okay.
All right. We'll give you thoughts, prayers out for you, and
we'll catch
you for the next time. You're really, really welcome.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Okay, what I'm doing is I'm writing down all these phone numbers, the last four digits. You're going to have the first chance next time, 1826 7096 5551, and 5274. If you, I'm writing these numbers down, and you'll have first shot next time. And I'm giving just the last four digits. I'm assuming you know your last four digits. I'll even throw 5274 in there as well. So, and then there's a 219, a 518, a 520, a 410, and I will save this for the next time you got your first shot, kids. As always, this is Suzanne Northrup. And by the way, I got a new newsletter just came out today and tomorrow. You, for those of you on my list, you're going to get a thing from a woman by Michelle Burchell. It's a whole audio series. It's free downloads. Take advantage of everybody. And we'll talk to you again July the 11th. And this is Suzanne Northrup signing out.